You know, it doesn't matter where you are, Tony and I have discovered, you're still the same people as you've always been. We're still always late, but it's not quite so important in Cambodia, as you can see from the pictures of the church. But one thing I do miss is nipping out at 12 o'clock at night to Tesco's, or 1 o'clock in the morning, to pick up something that I really need for the next morning. And one time in Cambodia you can get most things now, especially in Phnom Penh, not in the rest of the country, but you can get most things. But when we arrived in our house at first, the landlady gave us a list of phone numbers. This is the water shop to buy your water. This is the gas shop to buy the gas for your cooker. This is the shop where you can get screens mended, and we had a list of phone numbers. And one time, maybe we were there about a few weeks in our new house, we ran out of water. And of course it was probably about 10 o'clock at night. But I thought I would maybe give it a shot. So the next day, was a Sunday I think it was, I phoned the water shop. And in my best Khmer, I asked for them to bring me 5 bottles of water, and I told them the address, and they didn't understand me, and I didn't understand them. So I put the phone down, and I got myself sorted, and I tried again. This time I tried in English, because a lot of people speak English in Cambodia. Nothing. Same Khmer again. I couldn't quite understand what they were saying over the phone. Put the phone down. Practice my Khmer. Tried again, the same phone number. Tried again, didn't get anywhere. So I boiled some water and I put it in the fridge. The next day was Monday, and Sina, who is helps us in our house, came, and I was getting the kids out to school. And when I came back, 5 bottles of water had already been delivered. And she said, "Margaret, did you have..." This was in Khmer as well, but I can understand her because I can see her face. Did you have a problem yesterday? And I said, "No, not really. Why?" She said, "Because the gas man came to see if we were all right, because you had phoned him 3 times yesterday." So things in Cambodia are just the same here. We get things wrong and we get things right. It's been really lovely coming back to Bristol and to pick up on people's stories here. This week it feels as if Tony and I have visited lots of you and lots of people in Easton, and we've heard a bit of what people have been doing in the last 2 years. In fact, it feels as if we've fitted 6 months of socialising into 1 week, which is really nice. But one thing I have noticed is people really want to tell you. Maybe not necessarily people here, because you're much better listeners, but people want to tell you what's happened to them and where they are, at what stage they are in their life. And that's really lovely to actually discover that in Bristol, we're still walking with people, even after 2 years. And it was the same going back to Cambodia, to pick up friendships there from 12 years ago. That was really lovely, to pick up friendships and to again become part of people's journey in life. I've told you about Cora, and Cora has had an interest in life very different from our life. I'd like to tell you about somebody else now called Chanta. And I think we've got a photograph of her just coming up. And I also met Chanta when we were in the border in 1986 even. And this is Chanta with 2 of her daughters and her daughter's fiancé. Now, in the camps, Chanta was very poor. She had 3 daughters. Her husband was a soldier, but he also had a second wife. So the burden of looking after the children, of finding food, of like surviving, very much fell on Chanta's shoulders. Sometimes in the refugee camp, Chanta would come to church, but sometimes she wouldn't. It was just sometimes she was interested. Then in 1993, when all the refugees were repatriated back to Cambodia, a few of us went to visit Cambodia to see if we could meet up with some people that we had known. And Chanta, at that point, was sleeping on the street
with her three daughters. And we met her in Phnom Penh, and she was very, very worried about how she was going to care for her beautiful daughters, worried about how she was going to survive. And it's lovely seeing Chanta now. She has worked so hard. She just works non-stop. Her two eldest daughters are at university. Those pens that you got, we gave out, was made by her eldest daughters, and she makes those pens to help finance herself through university. And her youngest daughter is in high school, which is a big achievement in Cambodia. And Chanta is still working from 7 till 7 every day. But the wonderful thing is that Chanta is now an elder of her local church, and her faith in God has really, really grown. And that's lovely to talk with her and catch up with her, and now just really to share a faith together. You know, in all of our lives, we make choices, we choose. And Cora has made choices, and Chanta has made choices. But God has seen and been with both Cora and Chanta from the very beginning. I can tell you the stories of their lives, but God has been with them throughout everything that they have experienced, in the same way that he has been with us. In all our journeys, in all our things, God is with us. Whether we choose to say yes to God or whether we choose to say no to God, God sees us and God knows us. One of the things that Tony and I have been thinking about is just that question that Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And that's God's question, and God asks all of us that question. He asks Tony and I that question in Cambodia. He asks people here that question. He asks Chanta that question. He asks Cora that question. And just what Stuart was saying, how we journey together. We don't know how long it will be. We don't know for what purpose. Sometimes we can sow in. Sometimes we can water. But the word of God just never dies. It's a living thing and it moves on. And I was thinking as well just about Margaret Jack and how she has been here within Alma, and how lots of us within our lives bear the fruit of the word of God that was passed on to us through Margaret Jack's life, through the work of her hands, through her being a Sunday school teacher, through her smiling at us, through her remembering to pray for us. And it's that fruit that continues to grow. Tony's going to come up and read a passage from Deuteronomy.
I was really interested just to understand from a book I was reading that this passage was in the context of the people of God arriving at the Promised Land. And it's almost as if God says, you've reached there. I know it's going to be more difficult now for you to keep following me. And it's called a call to love and obedience. And there's that need in each of our lives, isn't it, for us to keep moving in our journey with God. Margaret and I have moved a long distance physically, but actually what we've found is that doesn't necessarily move us on spiritually at all. So wherever we are, there's that need to keep moving with God. And also the encouragement that God moves with us and stays with us. And the passage says this. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 10. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires you to fear him, to live according to his will, to love and worship him with all your heart and soul, and to obey the Lord's commands and laws that I'm giving you today for your own good. The highest heavens and the earth and everything in it all belong to the Lord your God. Yet the Lord chose your ancestors as the objects of his love. And he chose you, their descendants, above every other nation, as is evident today. Therefore, clean your sinful hearts and stop being stubborn. The Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords. He is a great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and takes no bribes. He gives justice to orphans and widows. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. You too must show love to foreigners, for you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God and worship him and cling to him. Your oaths must be in his name alone. He is your God, the one who is worthy of your praise. And Margaret and I were thinking earlier of Jesus' repeated question to Peter after he had risen again, where he said to Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And God, in a sense, keeps on asking that question of us. He keeps on asking that question too of those that don't know him yet. Keeps travelling not with us, not just with us, but with those who are still on a journey where they don't know him or recognise him yet. But that question, "Do you love me?" is one that God keeps asking. And before we finished, we just wanted to pray, to intercede, and wanted particularly to intercede for the church in Cambodia. We've got a few more pictures of some pastors, and we went on a journey down to an area of the country called Kampot, which is down in the south of the country, and it's very green for Cambodia anyway, not particularly for England, and very beautiful. There's a couple of pictures. Very simple housing, and that land in the foreground is land that's used for rice. So most people are subsistence farmers in that area. And this is one of the pastors that we met that runs the church down there. He's having a hard time at the moment. He's moved to a new village to run the church there, and he's living in a house with a landlord who's he's having problems with. He's come as a stranger to the village, and the landlord's son drinks quite heavily, and he's quite frightened for his family and his daughters, and he's also struggling to pay the rent, which I think is about $10 a month. So we were just amazed by some of these pastors that we met who are working in difficult circumstances to serve God. Many of them with a little training in the Bible, but not very much. Some of them have given up their time to be away from their families and spend a little bit of time regularly in Phnom Penh doing a course which trains pastors. There's a few more of the church that we met. The man at the back there, next to me, is called Brom Sambo. And he runs that group of churches, the church that we go to in Phnom Penh, and also these churches in Kampot. And they started up when he was working down there. So they're all churches that he started, pastors that he knows and has known for 10 or 15 years. We just gone to the next slide. And we went on to another church. In fact, this is a few leaders of different churches that had gathered together to meet with Sambo and us. Just old men of Cora's sort of age that will have seen difficult times in living in Cambodia, men without a great deal of education, men who have learned something about the Bible, but who are also alongside their work as pastors trying to keep their farms going. Some of them work as farmers, most of them worked as farmers, one of them worked as a school teacher, so they're all in full-time employment or full-time work, sustaining their own families, but also trying to run the church. And it was good, it was a privilege to meet with them and see how the church is growing. The church really is growing in Cambodia, but there's a real need for the leadership of the church to be trained, and there's real pressures in terms of finance, in terms of spiritual pressures, because although Christianity isn't restricted in the country, they are in a country where the culture is strongly Buddhist, and to leave that behind and to become a Christian and start going to church is a difficult thing to do, particularly if you're working in a small village. This village that we're in had about 115 families in, so there's no room to hide your life or who you are, and so their witness needs to be very consistent, and there's a lot of pressure on it. So there's some of the senior church leaders. And that's a totally different picture of something else that we won't pray for just now. That's the school that I teach at. Okay, so, yeah, well, I'd just like to spend a few minutes praying for those pastors. If you're comfortable doing it, it would be really nice just to pray with one or two people next to you. And I wondered whether it would also be good to just share. We've been talking about how our lives touch other people's and our journeys touch other people's. I'm thinking of some of the people who have touched our lives and our journeys. But it might be good, as we're praying for the Cambodian church, also just to be praying for the person next to you, perhaps for one person that they know, who they're aware, and I hope not too humble to talk about, that their life is touching in some way or other. So as we pray together, just with the person next to you, perhaps you could just take a minute, not to tell the whole life story of the person you want to pray for, but to share perhaps a name or somebody that you're very concerned for at the moment, and also to pray, please, for these pastors that are in this picture. It'd be good to have that picture back, if we could. Yeah, to pray for those pastors too. They really need our ongoing prayer. We'll just pray for 2 or 3 minutes together like that, and then perhaps the music group, could you play the final song, Great Is Your Faithfulness, as we close.